Chapter 18. Arcus Magdalene. Trace and Cassandra spent the night burning hearts and sending in reports. Corinth and Goldbow kept watch over Tella in a Motel 8. Corinth had convinced her to accept a new security detail, and Northwest Operations had two Michaels at her side by morning. They all met at the airport the next morning, though Goldbow had left earlier, called away on another mission. Trace worried over his evaluation until dawn, and after a dark, wet night, Rapture was never more welcome. By the time they arrived at Trevex late that afternoon, Athena awaited them with an unprecedented pile of forms that took Trace the better part of 8 hours to fill out. Gratefully, Archon Ramus didn't show up to frown upon him, so the only discomfort he had to suffer was driving his socially awkward car back to his apartment at 6 in the morning. While he couldn't afford anything as spectacular as Cassandra's caddy, he recommitted himself to purchasing a replacement as soon as possible, one that didn't inspire mockery and shame. Walking into his apartment returned a sense of normalcy to his wired brain. He still hadn't unpacked completely, boxes and furniture scattered about just as he had left them. Today he vowed to act normal. He would eat a bowl of cereal, take a shower, watch the news, unpack and organize, check the mail, and in general try to forget red auras, the swirling blackness of Shadim, and gutting dreads with a knife. It would take a puzzle or two to get the squishing sounds out of his head. He sliced open the tape on the food boxes first. The Ash Angel Provisioning Center had determined he liked Raisin Bran, Captain Crunch, and Fruit Loops. And while not very adult, he couldn't complain. Today would be Fruit Loops. Without hunger driving the spoon, he ate for the pure pleasure of it. The sugary taste, the crunchy texture, the sweet milk left in the bowl to slurp down at the end. It all came with no weight gain or cavities. He could eat 40 bowls. Had Ash Angel researchers figured out exactly what happened to the food they consumed since it went in one end but not out the other? He was grateful for the multitude of canned and boxed foods. The AAPC had correctly guessed he couldn't cook anything that required much more than operating a can opener and turning a stove knob. Next, he arranged the living room. He noticed he had no pictures of family or friends, and supposed it was his job to come up with suitable storm parents and siblings to adorn his apartment with. He had just finished scooting the couch against the wall and angling a chair in the corner when someone knocked on the door. Prepared for another visit from Mindy and Scarlet, he was surprised to find Arcus Magdalene at his doorstep. The head of the Gabriels was dressed in impeccable and expensive fashion, though she'd opted for business formal in a black pantsuit rather than Cassandra's fashion model looks. At 6'2", Trace was used to being taller than most women, but Magdalene looked him right in the eye, her pumps elevating her a couple inches. Her long red hair was pulled back in a bun, and she smiled at him, hazel eyes serious but lacking the bitterness of Cassandra's.
"Sorry to show up unannounced," she said. "Do you mind?"
No, of course not," he answered nervously. "I'm still unpacking, so sorry about the mess." She stepped in, and he closed the door, signaling for her to sit on the couch while he took the recently situated chair. This was about the AME. Had they decided already? Was it typical for an Arcus to pay a cherub a personal visit? At least she seemed pleasant enough. He considered offering her something to drink and thought better of it. He hadn't had time to stock his fridge, and he doubted Ash Angels drank water for the pleasure of it. She surveyed the place and him for a moment.
"You know," she finally said, a grin sliding up her lips, "I thought you'd be taller."
"Sorry to disappoint," he returned. "I thought you'd be shorter."
"Most men do. The height comes from my mother's side. Anyway, enough of the pleasantries. I've come to talk to you about your recent missions, and about Cassandra."
He nodded. "Okay. Looks like you shop at the same place."
"True," she agreed. "Whenever she's around, we typically make a run to some expensive store. We're going this afternoon, as a matter of fact. Looks like you should come with us."
He didn't mind his grungy jeans and t-shirt, but he certainly didn't blend in with Cassandra and Magdalene.
First priority is to get rid of the car they gave me. It's the one with the camper. She grinned. I thought I saw old Roaster out there. It has a lot of history, but suffice it to say, it has seen the demise of many dreads. But on to business. Archon Ramus and I had a fairly involved discussion about your performance in the program so far. So let's review what you've done in the field, first from his perspective. To him, the ride-along mission was an unmitigated disaster, though off the record I do have to thank you for a good laugh. Your second training mission was going according to plan until it was blown. During that mission, you ignored the orders of your handler and disregarded Protocol 44-2. Again, off the record, I congratulate you on the 99-1 comment. Clever for a Marine. Then we come to your active mission evaluation. The whole thing has become so epic in proportion internally that you almost got lost, but Ramus, of course, found plenty to complain about. You ignored Cassandra, again, and took a prominent normal into an ambush, albeit your ambush. Not dropping Tella off at the safe house, however, is a giant black mark on your mission record. Cassandra told me your reasons, but they didn't fly very far with Ramus. Trace leaned back, stifling a groan. So I failed then. More time at Trev XD. Would they keep Cassandra as his trainer? I'm not done yet, though. Yes, to Archon Ramus, you are an insubordinate and impulsive wild card. Arrogant, too. Here's what I saw, and I'll take the missions in reverse order. In this latest mission, I saw someone who thinks on his feet, adapts, improvises, and can kick teeth in when necessary. Realizing what the phone in the vision meant was genius and likely averted the massacre of everyone on your team, and possibly Tella as well. In your rescue of Priscilla, I saw extreme loyalty, bravery, and courage. Given you're still young enough in the program that you may not know enough of the horrors out there to be properly afraid, but I believed you in the debrief when you said you would do the same thing again. I applaud that. I know why 44-2 exists, and I've had to invoke it myself. But nobody likes it, no matter how necessary it may seem. Your commitment to ignore it is refreshing, even if a bit naive. Now to your ride-along. You might wonder what good I could possibly pull out of that mission, besides your creativity and perverse sense of humor. There was a little detail at the end of Cassandra's report that caught my eye. It said basically that while she thought your actions were motivated by a desire to punish the thieves, you had stated you wanted to erase the criminal's presence from the house so that the grieving family wouldn't have an extra burden to deal with that day. Now, I was married before my death, and have dealt with many men before and after, and I have to say that what you did was uncommonly thoughtful for one of your sex. If you hadn't had so much adolescent fun doing it, I think you would have passed the ride along with flying colors. So there it is. That sums up the boxing match I had with Ramus this morning. He can't understand why Cassandra hasn't resigned from her training post in frustration, while I now understand why she begged me to let you go on the Seattle mission. Trace's brow creased. She begged you? She told me the opposite. Magdalene chuckled. Did she? Well, she probably didn't want you feeling good about yourself. She likes you, I think.
Likes me? What does she do to people she doesn't like?
Cassandra is a complicated woman, Trace. Don't take her at face value. You've heard about the business with Goldbow?
Yeah, he told me.
You may wonder why Ramus and I keep throwing him into these missions with her. The one thing Ramus and I do agree on is that she was happy when she was with Goldbow. Her life before she died, quite frankly, and excuse the vernacular, sucked. That carried over after death. With Goldbow, she had finally started to move on. Then, her prince, her soulmate, her love, the up-and-coming combat monster of a Michael obeys orders, and 44-2's her in the middle of a mission. Operationally speaking, he did the right thing. Romantically speaking, he dropped a nuclear bomb on their relationship. I hope she can forgive him, but it's not her nature.
So why throw them together? Trace said. She won't even look at him half the time. Seems a little distance might be better.
To be honest, the only way I see her forgiving him is if he can redeem himself somehow. He can only do that if they are still serving together. But back to you for a moment. What came of my argument with Ramus this morning was this. You failed your AME. Sort of.
Sort of?
Well, officially, yes. Operationally, no. Let me explain. We need Cassandra in the field, not at Trevex. We need you both places. You've shown you can handle yourself. Cassandra was furious when we suggested someone else could take over your training, so we came up with a hybrid solution. You continue your training in the field, acting as an operational agent. Ramus didn't like it, but Cassandra put her foot down, and it can be a heavy foot.
Trace slumped back into his chair. It could have been worse. Look, I think I'm coming off as a rebel. I just try to do what I think is right.
And your instincts have been good, she reassured him. But realize that many of the rules and regulations, and no, I won't say all, come from the lessons learned by those who have been doing these missions for a long time. Keep your instincts and that in mind, and I think you'll do well. I will also ask two more things of you. First, when Archon Mars finds out Ramus failed you, he will come after you hard to join the Michaels. Please give the Gabriels a chance. Second, you will remember what I said about Cassandra and be patient with her. She is a friend, and I want to see her well.
I will. He liked Magdalene. She was reasonable. She stood.
Excellent. Your first mission will come soon, and with the way things are now, it probably won't be much safer than Seattle. Thank you for your time, Trace. It was nice to finally meet you.
I should thank you, he said. I'm sure Anarchus has better things to do.
Like shopping, she said with a smile. I'm the one who dragged Cassie kicking and screaming into the world of high fashion. Now she can't get enough.
Her phone vibrated, and she pulled it from her purse.
And yep, Cassie is wondering if I'm done with Jarhead. Is that what she calls you?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not Chumpkins. And what was the other? Oh, yes, Pukeface. Consider yourself lucky.
They moved to the door, and when he opened it, Mindy and Scarlet walked up holding bags from a local bagel shop.
Your neighbors? Magdalene asked.
Yes. Trace introduced them, the college girls cowed by Magdalene's professional air. After a few pleasantries, Magdalene left, and he invited Scarlet and Mindy in.
We noticed you were back, Scarlet said, leaning against the newly organized counter in a way that emphasized her healthy curves. Business trip?
To Seattle, he confirmed. Got back early this morning. Mindy unpacked the bagels, flashing him an inviting smile. She must have ended it with her boyfriend.
We brought you some brunch.
Thanks, he said appreciatively. You two are the best.
But we have to ask, Scarlet pouted. Who are these gorgeous women who keep coming to your apartment? Are you dating one of them?
No, he said, much to their relief. They're clients I've been working with for a few weeks on a sensitive computer security problem. I'd be a bit too blue-collar for them, I think. Once they were assured of his unattached status, Trace found himself the subject of some fairly aggressive flirting for the balance of the morning. He wondered if there was a form one had to fill out when dating normals. If he had to guess, it would probably be Form 2-Stupid. Still, if Mindy and Scarlet wanted to bring him food and act like he was the most attractive being in the universe, he would count it as a pleasant distraction from Archons, Dreads, and temperamental trainers.